Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good afternoon, everyone. It's Tuesday, April 28th, 2015, and welcome to We Get Results. I'm your host, Mary Singer Albertson, and if you haven't joined me before, We Get Results airs on the fourth Tuesday of the month at 1 p.m. Eastern. And the purpose of my show is to connect listeners to important challenges that we're facing and how we can make our voices heard to make a difference. I feel that everyone can get results if they know how and where to connect to something that they're passionate about. We need to be the change that we want to see in the world. It's up to us. There's no one else coming. We're it. So we need to act on a lot of things that we're going to talk about today. The first part of my show today, the focus has changed in the last 24 hours because of the devastating earthquake in Nepal, and we have some information on some special friends of ours in Nepal, and we're going to have a speaker coming on, Thomas Morgan, in just a few minutes, who's actually calling in from Singapore. So what I'd like to just tell you, though, is every month we have someone from the organizational results come on to give us an action that we can take to be the change. And I have found that results organization is the best way for one person to make a difference. We learn to become powerful advocates, to use our voices to speak to our elected officials on domestic and global poverty, and we do our homework, get involved, and call on lawmakers to take action. We need to see ourselves as change makers, and results helps us do that. Results is a volunteer citizens lobby creating the political will to end hunger and poverty, because we could if we wanted to. Someone in Congress has said, we are so busy, we'll only do what you make us do. And that's our job, to make them do what needs to be done. We are their boss, and we hire them with our vote, and we can fire them by voting them out. So that's a little bit about what Results is about. And like I said, the focus of our program today has changed in the last 24 hours. We know about the devastating earthquake in Nepal. Deaths may top 10,000, 4,349 confirmed dead now. As many as 2.8 million children may be affected. And the Nepalese people are sleeping in the streets, parks, on roads, and they're still panicked. There's still constant tremors, and it's still not over. And so today we're going to talk to Thomas Morgan, who's a very special person that's been on my show before, and his documentary, Waiting for Mamu, that's about Pushpa Basnet, who is in Nepal right now with the children that she takes care of, and we're going to find out what's happening and what the situation is there and what we can do to help. So I'm going to check and see now if, Thomas Morgan, are you on the line?
I am.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good. Are you awake?
I'm awake, yes. Yes.
I know it's 1 a.m. in Singapore, right?
That's right, yep. 12-hour difference from the East Coast.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm going to give just a little bit of background on Pushpa, our friend that's the hero of children in Nepal and has been for a while now, and find out what's going on with her. But let me just say first about you, that you are a producer and director of an award-winning documentary, Waiting for Mamu. It's gotten lots of awards. You're a human rights advocate, speaker, and founder of Reframed Pictures with Susan Sarandon, the amazing actress and human rights advocate. And I'm going to give a little information on Pushpa, unless you want to come in right now. Should I go ahead with that?
I think Pushpa, best known obviously as the 2012 CNN Hero of the Year, her organization and her vision has always been to take the children out of prison in Nepal. So in Nepal, if a parent has been sentenced to prison, they don't have a legal guardian for their kids. Their kids go to prison with them, and it's not punitive.
That was a shock.
Yeah, they just simply don't have a system that
No. And she said that while she was studying social work, in college, she visited a woman's prison, and it was horrible conditions, and all the children were living behind bars, and she couldn't live with that, right?
That's right. So I met her in the U.S., and at that point in time, she was one of 45,000 CNN Hero nominees when we started documenting her. And then she went on to win 2012 CNN Hero of the Year. So it was quite a journey for us to.
And it was interesting because I was watching that show and I saw her win and I thought it was so fabulous. And then after that, I went up to Traverse City to the TEDx talks and saw you doing a TEDx talk about it and found out about you. And both you and Pushpa have been on my show in the past. Thank you very much. And it's just a fabulous story. And so I wanted to check with you and see what, when you met her and decided to make Waiting for Mamu, what was your intention that you were hoping for the documentary?
Well, you know, our intention was always to figure out a way to make a film that really told her story and that was really her. And then, but also in addition to that, we always, in the back of our minds, wanted to figure out how do we leverage this to build a home. One of the problems that she has is when the landlords find out that these are prison children, these are children whose parents are in prison, they evict her. So 5 times in 7 years, she had to move once the parents found out, or once the landlords found out that these were the children of prisoners. So we wanted to figure out what do we do and how do we use this to really make a huge change. And so we've used the film in such a way that the film comes out, we go from festival to festival, and you know, it was tremendous the response that we got and the people who voted for it, and we won festival after festival. But in the back of our minds, always the intention was, how do we use this to build a home so that these children don't have to move again, so that there's some predictability to their future, and that Pushpa feels secure. And so every time we would play, every time we would win an award, every time we would go to a festival fundraising event, and we literally on the back of this film, and you know, the CNN Hero Award bought the land, but on the back of this film, we were, you know, simply months away from finishing the house, a beautiful home that would be the first. It was actually the first to an international standard that would have been done in Nepal.
So, you know, after this horrible disaster now, and you said the home is pretty much demolished, how is the place where they were just trying to stay until the home was done? Is that in one piece?
Well, so the earthquake strikes, and, you know, and you always hope that it's not you, but it was definitely us. Mm-hmm. And so the house was lost, not completely lost, but virtually everything's gone. And the place that they were staying, that they were renting, was so badly damaged as well that they can't stay there. And so now it's Pushpa and her 48 kids that are living in a field under some plastic in the middle of Kathmandu, just waiting to figure out what do we do next. And so it's been really trying, and I've had daily conversations with her about getting supplies and tents and how do we get flashlights and solar generators and so on and so forth. And so I've been like a small telethon over here, and people and resources are trying to reach out to her, but it's been really intense, and it's been really trying for the last few days. So
Also, they usually when people make a film, they kind of move on and go to something else, but you're so deeply involved with them. What would you say about that?
Well, you know, I think it was different for sure, but the one thing I will say about our company and about our films is they're all human rights and social justice, you know, documentaries. Mm-hmm. And so for us, we want to see and we want to figure out what do we do that really produces a change, not just a film, but it's about the cause first, and the film is just the vehicle to produce the change. And so until that change is made, until we feel like there's something significant that we've done with that, it's hard to move on. But I think additionally with Pushpa, because I'm so close to her now, and I'm so close to her kids, they feel like my family. You know, she calls me brother. I feel like her brother. Her kids feel like my kids. So it's hard for me to just say, oh, you know what, done with the film, let's move on to the next, especially when I know that she's still in need. And so it's very, very difficult to kind of turn your back on that. And especially, you know,
for sure.
We've kind of been through a lot together and trying to build a house together. And we were so excited that we were so close. And you know, we'll go through this together as well. And I'm sure at the end we'll be closer because of it, but it's been quite a journey.
Now, is your partner Susan Sarandon still involved as well?
Well, I'll tell you, I've learned a lot from Susan through the process of making films. She is probably one of the smartest women that I know, and really wraps her arms around each one of these and figures out, well, what is it? How do we make change? And are we doing the right things? And so she's so deeply involved from fundraisers and taking time out to traveling, like literally across the country to speak on, you know, behalf of Pushpa and her kids and to help us move one step closer. She's been the one. We've been texting back and forth daily, just saying, what do we do now? How do we get this? How do we get that? How do we get, you know, more press, or how do we get something behind this and kind of rebuild that momentum? Because we're both, you know, we're both as devastated as we could be, and we both just hurt for Pushpa. And so the great thing about Susan is she locks in on something, and she knows what she wants, and she's very determined to stay involved and to stay on top of it until we get there. And so she's the same, right? She's seen Pushpa at all of these events and all of these fundraisers, and she feels like she knows her, like a family member. And so she's very much involved and still trying to figure out how we kind of pull it all back together.
Yeah. Well, I've seen her a lot in, you know, advocating for Heifer International and other things, and I've always felt like she was just a really wonderful advocate for people who need a hand up. And
Well, I would say the one thing that, you know, what you see is what you get with her. When she says that she is, you know, for or working on something, it's because she really knows it. I have a funny story. One time I asked her, I said, maybe we should support this particular film. It's for malaria research. And so when the film comes out, we don't have to give any money. We don't have to do anything. We just have to say nice things about it. And we have to be at the opening. And we talk about it, and all of the money goes to malaria research. And Susan said, well, which organization? And she names off the top of her head 7 organizations at least that conduct malaria research around the world. And she said, these are the 3 that I'll support, and the rest of them I won't support. And I was just shocked, because I couldn't name 2. I could only name the one that was asking us. And I was just shocked that she – but – that is her. She's so well read, so well researched, and really just knows exactly what she wants to support and why. And so next time I went to her with something, I was more buttoned up for sure.
Well, that's, you know, that's one thing that Results is working on a big time is a global fund to fight AIDS, TB, and malaria. And we're very involved in trying to end malaria deaths. So, you know, she's right on target with the things that we're doing also. And so that, you know, that makes me really happy that that's something that's being worked on. And I know you mentioned about media, and I think, isn't it tonight on CNN that Pushpa's going to be on Anderson Cooper's show?
Yeah, I hope so. She was supposed to be on Monday, and then the issues in Baltimore kind of took over. And so they've interviewed her. I think they interviewed her early this time, because last time she was waiting at 3 a.m. And then the interview never took place. So they interviewed her early, and I'm hoping that tonight is the night that it's on. So we'll see.
Yeah, well, that's good. Hopefully it'll be on soon, because it sounds like they're having a lot of trouble getting aid and things in, you know, to the country and all over. And and not having any idea how many people they may still find because it's so hard to get anywhere. They said the large machines or things that are coming in to help, the streets are too narrow to get down the streets, and people are pretty much just using their hands to move bricks and things to try to see if their loved ones are there somewhere. So really, really lots of love and prayers go to them. And I know you've gotten lots of awards. I was hoping to come back up when you showed it in Traverse City, but I was in Arizona, I think. But I know you've gotten a lot of awards, Traverse City Film Festival, San Diego Film Festival, Audience and Jury Awards, Sedona, Jury and Audience and Humanitarian Awards. And what do you think it was that made this documentary so appealing to so many?
Well, I think, you know, it's so real and relatable, and Pushpa is mm-hmm. so real and relatable. You know, at the very beginning, I think it kind of throws people off when she says, you know, I got into social work because I thought I would only have to go to college 3 days a week and then field work 2 days a week, and it seemed easy. And so that's why I got mm-hmm. into it. So I think it, you know, like she's very honest. And I think that the sincerity of what she's doing really resonates with a lot of people. And I also think, you know, they're kids. I mean, she's taken yeah. over 200 kids in prison, raised them, mm-hmm. given them the best childhood they could have imagined for their lives. And then they go back to their parents. I can't imagine like raising a child and then knowing that you're going to send them back to their parents when they get out of prison. But, you know, that's kind of her reality. And so I think that just the selflessness of who she is and why she does it mm-hmm. and what she gives to these kids has just been amazing. And so it's not because we're great storytellers necessarily. It's because she's a great story, and she's so yeah. ridiculously honest. And it just has really struck a lot of people and been part of their story as well, to say, well, geez, if she can do that, if she can at 21 mm-hmm. can make this, maybe I can yeah. do something. So it's been, I've heard that from so many people who say, you know, especially now when in this time of really difficult time for her and time of need, mm-hmm. people reaching out saying, well, look what she's done with everybody for everybody else. Maybe I can do something for her. So it's been,
right. Definitely. That's something that we all need to do. We're one human family, and we need to help whoever is in need. And I always liked the thing that Reverend Michael Beckwith said, which was, we only get to keep what we give away deep in our soul. So I think we give to others, and we get back really almost more than we give. And it's so rewarding. It's so rewarding to work, you know, with results, too, and trying to work on child poverty and hunger all kinds of things like that we're working on, that we're making a difference in. And I know on the article that I read about her. Go ahead.
I was going to say, you know, what's been really amazing, what's really been crazy is the ways in which people have kind of come back and said, this is what I'm doing to help. This is how I figured mm-hmm. out a way to help you. You know, everything from, you know, yoga classes where they're giving all of the proceeds from the people who come and do yoga, to cooking classes, to mm-hmm. you know, people now saying, I'm going to do a screening at my house, I'm going to do a screening at a theater, I'm going to, you know, dedicate mm-hmm. the money from this one particular talk that I do. And it's really been amazing. And I think, you know, that is Pushpa. That's her ingenuity. Mm-hmm. That's kind of like in her spirit of one person. What are the assets that I have that I can give you today? Mm-hmm. And that's been, I mean, it's been really, really nice. And I don't know, like, I don't know what that does or what that raises necessarily, but it's, for me, it's completely the intent and the intention of why they're doing it, and the selflessness of why they're doing it just one day. So it's been really, yeah. been really beautiful.
That sounds like a really good idea for each person to look in themselves and see what they can do. And I'm hoping that, you know, we're going to put out the link to this radio show everywhere we can. And hopefully, you know, many more people will listen to it and find out what they can do to help right now. I think she was so amazing that she actually could start something like this at 21. And She said, I want to fulfill all their dreams. You know, she said, my mission is to make sure no child grows up behind prison walls. This is someone that's 21. We just have to look at how our life has been and be so grateful for what we have and then do whatever we can for someone that needs us. They need a hand up. It's not even a hand out. It's a hand up. They just need to get back on their feet. And I hope everyone will find out from you, you know, where to donate and what to do. I guess the other thing I wanted to ask you, too, was I read that it said that a reporter once called this the greatest film never distributed. And why do you think that it wasn't picked up by CNN?
Well, you know, that is a question that we have talked about for a long time. You know, at first it wasn't picked up because they said, well, we were coming into this when CNN was just starting their, you know, documentary film series. And so mm-hmm. I thought, oh, this is perfect timing. We have their hero and their documentary film series. And then they said, well, we don't like, they started with Girl Rising and then they said, well, we don't really like documentary shorts. And then they kind of switched gears and said, well, we do like documentary shorts, but we don't, you know, and so for whatever reason, we just never quite got in the gears at CNN. And because the film is about a CNN hero and because it ends with, you know, a CNN hero, not to be the spoiler alert here, right? It ends with the CNN hero. A lot of other networks aren't interested. They don't want to promote CNN's hero. They don't want to promote the film of another network. And so it's kind of been this crazy double-edged sword. On one side, we've always thought, well, did we do better because she's the CNN hero? We, you know, she won $300,000 and mm-hmm. we were able to buy the land and then build the house. Or honestly, would we have done better had we been able to sell the film to a distribution channel, and when we raised as much as she would have with CNN Hero or whatever. So it's kind of been this back and forth, but at this point, it doesn't matter. We're proud of her. We're really happy that she is a CNN Hero. We're really disappointed that we've never put anything together with CNN. But, you know, I think it's kind of fitting of her, right? She saw more trials and tribulations than she saw success at a young age. And so this is no different. And so we kind of take it and say, this is grassroots. There is nothing mm-hmm. more grassroots than what we're doing. We know people love the film. Everybody said they love the film. We won all the mm-hmm. festivals. But at the end of the day, the biggest thing for us is how do we leverage the film to build this house? And how do we mm-hmm. so that was a task in and of itself. Now, how do we leverage the film to build the house twice? And we will build the house again because I feel like, you know, it's something that's meant to be. Mm-hmm. And this is just more a test of our endurance. And so we mm-hmm. hope to get there again. And we hope that we get, you know, some help from CNN. But if we don't, that's fine as well. But, you know, it is. It's funny because we hear all the time, well, why didn't this get picked up? Why hasn't this got picked up? And it is. It's on, you know, it's on MGO, it's on Hulu, it's on Amazon, it's, you know, or it's on all of the video on demand, but it never got picked up for a wider spread distribution. So it is what it is, but it has been frustrating to say the least.
Well, Thomas, do you think that it's too late for like viewers to try to get in touch with CNN to talk about that, or, you know, would it help for us to all try to call in to talk about that, or no?
Well, no, you know, we've kind of given up on it. We feel like maybe they'll come back to us at some point someday. We've pushed on every button over there and everything from maybe we use it as a kickoff to the CNN Heroes or maybe as part of a CNN special series or whatever. And like literally the last note that I got was on the verge of rude, like, don't call us again, don't go, you know, we're not taking your film. And so I said the push by, I said, you know, I'm just short of a restraining order at this point, so I guess I won't go back again. But you know, it's fine. I think for us, when the house is built and it's all done, and we say we did this without without their help, honestly, maybe it'll feel better. I don't know, but we'll see.
Well, and the other thing that could be too is if they have her on Anderson Cooper and the story comes back up again, maybe that would be the time that just some of us listeners could try to contact them and tell them how much we like the documentary and saw her on TV and stuff like that right now, because it would be a right now thing. But just an idea, another little idea. But
right now it's interesting that the film is, it was at one point, it was in the top 50 films on MGO, which is a video on demand platform, much like Amazon or whatever. And now I just saw yesterday that it's trending again. So now it's one of their top trending films because of this or whatever, that we have the word out.
Yeah.
But, on Amazon and MGO and all these places. So it's interesting that it's not a film that just kind of peaked and then that was, it fell into nowhere land, but right now it's done well, and I think it's because people really want to know her, and I think when they know her, then they want to help her. She's not a statistic. She's not one of many in Nepal. She's Pushpa, and so once I think you can put a face to that person who needs your help, it's much more real.
And for people that haven't seen it, just mention the title of the film, Waiting for Mamu, because the kids are waiting for her, and she's a hero to probably all the children in Nepal that know about her. And so anything else to say about that as far as the movie title? And
no, I think we titled it that because there were still 80 kids that were in the prison that were waiting for her to come and get them. And and now, you know, what's interesting is now in the kind of the throes of this earthquake, as many of the kids who have, left her and gone to their families who are now making their way back because she has become such a beacon of safety for them. And many have lost everything and many have lost families. Many or their families have lost everything. So it's them and their families who are making their way back looking for Pushpa. And so that's why I feel like, when we give to her, she will give to many. The great thing is that when we raise money for her, 100% of the money goes to her. There's not $1 of administration fee that comes out. There's not anything that comes out. All of the money goes to her. And we know it's in good hands because we've seen what she's done with it in the past. So, I think that's the one thing. People are always skeptical when they give out money or they give it to an organization, how much of it actually gets to the people on the ground. And we can truthfully say 100% gets to the people on the ground. And so we're proud of that. And we know that that she's a really good steward of the money and of all of the people. And she's just such a proud citizen of Nepal. When she did her speech, she thanked her country, Nepal. And it's just she's very, very proud of her country. And so this will be no exception.
So why don't you tell everyone how the best way for them to get involved that you have, and then they can start thinking about other projects or events they could have. But what would you want us to do right now?
Well, I think what's best and what we've seen to be most effective is if you go to the website, which is waitingformamu.com, there's all the ways that you can rent or download or buy the film. And what we've seen is people who watch the film first, then want to they feel that connection and want to impact it. So what we found to be the most effective is people, because they want to do something, they have small screenings at their house, or they figure out if they can do it at a church or a bar or whatever. I mean, they screen the film someplace and then they collectively say, okay, well now what do we do? And so I think that's been very impactful because there's that, again, there's that connection to her and that connection to her work and her kids. And so we encourage everyone to do that and see the film first and know who you're helping. And that's been great. And I'm coming back to the U.S. This week, and then we'll turn around and go right from the U.S. I'm doing the commencement speech at Central Michigan University, my alma mater, on the 9th. And then we'll turn around. I'll turn around the next week and then go go to Nepal so that I can help her kids and be an extra set of hands on the ground for her. So we're hopeful. We've we've kind of turned it back over and really turned on the all efforts to raise the money and to re-raise the money for her. And it's been pretty amazing how many people have reached out. But again, if people want to donate, they can go to waitingformamu.com. You can press the donate button. It takes you to the 501c3. So it's tax deductible with 100% going to her. And any help, $5 to $500, any help is so appreciated.
I thank you, Mary, for
letting me on the show. You know, I know it was just such short notice,
that was wonderful. I applaud her. I saw when she got the award, and then I met you later, and I was so, thrilled for her that when she got the award on the show, because I watch it every year, it's so good. And, then meeting you in Traverse City and getting both of you on my show, and I went back to look at some of it, and I looked around when she was on the program, and one of my email things that I must have copied a Facebook posting, and it said, this is what she said on August 30th, earthquake, August 30th, 2013, earthquake, it was bad. My children were all screaming, but we are all doing good. So that just kind of gave me the chills, because that, was, and it sounds like they get a lot of earthquakes. And
Nothing like this.
No.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And it said it's going to be a long time. So I think, if everybody can try to get in there and donate right now, with the regular food aid people or aid coming in from other countries, they're having a real difficult time with it. And they said it was very slow and getting the food and the water and things like that. And then they'll be all, be concerned whether there's a waterborne diseases and different things going on like that. So I think if anybody that can donate now should do it right away. And then you can always donate again after a while or when your, tax money refund comes in or whatever. But, I think they need it right now. And
absolutely.
It's just a wonderful story. So I hope that everyone listening to this will go on the website and donate. And please give her a hug from me and tell her that I'm going to put this out everywhere I can think of to let people hear it. Because I think, you can write things down, but if you have the Waiting for Mamu documentary or you tell a story just like we do when we go visit Congress with results and talk about the problems that kids are having in all different countries. The pictures, the stories, that's what really makes it. And I think people can probably get a lot of their friends on board if they show the documentary. So I hope that will happen. So
very good. Thank you so much. And they can also go to the Facebook page and see the pictures. And I just was looking, there's updates on Facebook and it's Waiting for Mamu on Facebook. And that's helpful as well.
I think the one thing that we didn't actually say is everybody's okay, right? As far as being hurt.
Everybody's okay. Everybody's safe. Yeah. So we're very fortunate. Yeah. So with all the deaths around them, all of them are okay. And in fact, I just saw Pushpa's brother this evening. He's headed back. He was out of town and couldn't get back to his country. And he was just on pins and needles, waiting to get back. So, but everybody's okay. His family, her family's okay. And so it's, we're really, really.
Yeah. And we were really fortunate too. We just found out that Kool Ghatam, who was at one point the head of UNICEF and then Assistant Secretary General of the UN, and he comes to our results, the international conferences. He and his family are also okay. And Muhammad Yunus in Bangladesh also, who is also a member of our board. So far, all good news there. We just need to get some help to people. So everybody, get on your computer and get on the Waiting for Mamu, www.waitingformamu.com, and get your link so that you can donate. Think about how grateful and happy and thankful we are for everything we have, and we really need to help people who need a hand up. So.
Thank you so much.
Is there anything else you want to say to close, Thomas?
No, just thanks for having me on the show and give what you can and just know that these kids will be so appreciative. It's really important.
Yeah. I think, you know, the one little thing that was said in the article I was reading was Lakshmi. I'm sure you know her. I don't know if I said it right. Her name is Lakshmi, the oldest daughter. My life would have been dark without her. I would have probably always had a sad life, but now I won't because of Pushpa. So I'm getting chills. Yeah. So anyway, thank you for all you're doing. Thank you to Susan Sarandon for all the cheetahs, for so many people. And let us know. Let me know what's happening and anything else that I can do. And I will be putting this link around everywhere, and I'll get it to you soon.
And I will definitely keep you posted. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Thomas. Take care. Safe travels. Bye. Okay, well, I hope everyone will go online and donate what you can. And now that you know what to do, we're going to go on to something else that you can do. And we're going to have two short actions we can take around. One is taking it around ending preventable child and maternal deaths worldwide with Ken Patterson. And after that, we're going to have a domestic action with Meredith Dotson from Results around the huge cuts that Congress wants to do to SNAP, which is food stamps. So first of all, we're going to welcome Ken Patterson. Ken has been on before, and Ken is the Director of Global Grassroots Advocacy for Results. He's been a big help to me for years, and we really appreciate him, and thank you for coming on. Are you there, Ken?
I am, Mary. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing great. Doing great.
Good. Well, I'm hoping that you'll tell a little bit about why Results has chosen to help the world end preventable child maternal deaths worldwide and what we can do.
Sure. And I'll be brief here today. I mean, Results is 35 years old this year, and one of the first major efforts that we undertook was really working on child survival and maternal health, and we've been working on that since the 1980s. And we were instrumental in sort of starting the child survival movement with Jim Grant of UNICEF at the time, bringing attention to the 40,000 children dying each day of largely preventable causes back at that time through candlelight vigils, and then really moving on towards legislative actions and getting more resources dedicated to helping children survive really basic things like diarrhea and malnutrition and a lack of sort of basic vaccinations, dying of malaria and other sort of diseases that we know how to prevent. And so, as I said, just back when we started this, there were an estimated 40,000 children dying each and every day of preventable causes. And in many countries, it just was a dire situation, really, in, places that we think are doing much better today, India, Bangladesh, and many parts of Africa. And, I mean, at that time, we all knew that something needed to be done, but no one would have ever imagined that we would be talking today about actually finishing that job of ensuring that mothers and children have a chance to realize their potential because they've got everything they need to survive, pregnancy and childbirth and post-childbirth and the first 5 years of life. And so things have changed pretty dramatically over time because a lot of these efforts, there are still an estimated 17,000 children dying each day of preventable causes. So that number has been cut more than in half since that time. And this is even as the planet has really, the population of the planet has increased by billions of people. And so these are raw numbers. Mm-hmm. And so we've made a lot of progress. And right now, again, this is an exciting moment because there's really a consensus that we've got all the tools that we need to end preventable maternal and child deaths by 2035. And this vision was laid out during the call to action on child survival in 2013, which was an effort convened by the U.S. government, USAID, and the government health ministry of India and Ethiopia, along with 55 other nations. And basically what was said at that conference is, we actually have all the tools that we need to end preventable child deaths, to end preventable maternal deaths as well. And we're not waiting for any sort of, you know, scientific breakthroughs or some magical vaccine or some other silver bullet. We actually know how to do this already. And then a year later, after that meeting and after that acknowledgement and that vision, a roadmap was laid to called Acting on the Call from USAID about how to go about doing that. And so right now, you know, a lot of this has come on, under play during the Obama administration, and we have an opportunity now to introduce and to pass law that will enshrine into legislation U.S. leadership, the U.S. leadership commitment to ending preventable maternal and child deaths by 2035, and really putting in place some key reforms that will ensure that the United States is doing all of the critical work, all this critical work in the most effective and cost-effective manner. So this is a historic moment. We don't know what will happen with the next election, who's going to win that next one, but we do want to make sure that what is in place before President Obama leaves office is this commitment that the administration has made to ending maternal and child deaths, and the best way to do that is to actually get it into law. And there's something that everybody can do that's very simple on this. If you go to the results website, it's www.results.org, so very simple. And then once you get to the homepage, in the right-hand side, there's a Take Action box. And you're going to see there's two actions, actually, in that box. The one that will come up first is one that Meredith will talk about on SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. And so you'll see that action that you can take there. And then down at the bottom of that little box, there'll be something that says Global. And if you click on Global at the bottom of that box, then you can actually write a Mother's Day letter to the editor on child survival legislation to your local paper. So it will just kind of highlight the possibilities that we have of actually accomplishing this major goal. And there'll be a draft letter that you can edit there, and it will link you to your local market. And then you can sort of bring this to light. And then eventually what we'll be doing is asking our senators and representatives to get behind this legislation.
Yeah, and it's very simple to do that. It really is. And if anybody has any questions about it when they look at it, you know, you can email me at malbertson05@aol.com, and I'll be happy to give you any help. And I'm sure Ken also would if you have any questions. Where would they go to? kpatterson@results.org?
Yeah, they can. If anybody has any questions on that, just kpatterson@results.org.
Yeah. Well, I've been talking about this for quite a few hours now, because yesterday we spent over an hour with the new representative, Mike Bishop, from Michigan, and this was one of the big things that we talked about. It actually was my part to request for him to co-sponsor the maternal and child health authorizing legislation when it's introduced, thinking, what, end of May or June, Ken?
Yeah, the Senate version of the bill should come out like May. And then our hope is that the House version will come out soon after that.
So anyway, it was very interesting. He was very interested. He's brand new, and we were very happy to have a face-to-face meeting, and he let us stay for over an hour. So we hope that he will be a co-sponsor of that, and we have another meeting coming up with new Congresswoman Debbie Dingell next week, and we'll be asking her the same thing. And then a few other things, but that's a huge thing. I mean, we're so proud that when results started, it was over 40,000 children dying every day, and now we're down to 17,000, which is still horrible. But we can do something about it. We just have to get our legislators and letters to the papers and media on board. And please, if you feel like this is something that interests you, go on the results website and look for a group in your area. You know, practically every state has a group, but if you don't have one near you, you can do things online anyway, right, Ken?
Absolutely, and we would love to help people get groups started if there's not one in your area.
Great. Well, thanks a lot for that information, Ken, and I'm going to let you go so Meredith can talk about SNAP for a few minutes, and anyone who's interested enough, you can come to our international conference in Washington, D.C., look on the results website, and we lobby. So you take care, Ken. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much, Mary, and thanks for the opportunity to tell folks about the difference they can make in the world. Appreciate it.
Yes, thanks. Bye. Okay, now we're going to do our last action, with someone else that's been very helpful to me for a long time, and that's Meredith Dotson, and she's director of the U.S. Poverty Campaigns for Results. Meredith, are you there?
Can you hear me, Mary?
Yeah, perfect. Thank you for waiting, and why don't you tell everybody why we want to do this action to keep them from cutting SNAP?
Great. So it's always inspiring to hear about the progress that we've been making to address preventable child deaths and really make a difference around the world. And I think in particular when, as I listen to Ken talk that through a bit, it reminds me of the impact that we can have through shaping political priorities. That wasn't just an accident. It's a direct result of policymakers, you know, hearing from folks in their local communities across the country about the things that matter to them and specific, very tangible policies that can reduce, that can make sure kids have access to vaccines, that can make sure that pregnant women have the care that they need. And it always resonates with me in particular because I'm the mother of two small children, and all the work that we do to make sure that all children reach their fifth birthday is just, you know, really close to my heart. So similarly to our work on addressing poverty issues like the ones Ken mentioned around the world, there are a network of results volunteers in 35 communities across the United States that focus on creating the political will to end poverty here in the U.S. So for folks who aren't familiar, Results isn't a direct service provider organization. We're focused on shifting policies and ultimately, you know, building that momentum to end poverty. And even the events in the last couple of days in Baltimore, a city that experiences extremely high rates of poverty, especially in some of the communities where you see a lot of folks stepping forward, protesting in the streets, mostly peacefully, it's just a reminder of the impact that poverty has on a variety of communities across the country. So one of the key defenses we have specifically to fight hunger in the United States is SNAP. That's the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. It was formerly known as food stamps, and it was officially changed a few years ago. But still a lot of folks think of it as food stamps, even though the way that folks redeem benefit is not anymore through stamps, it's through an electronic benefits card. SNAP is, I mentioned, a really key lifeline for millions of low-income families and really helps some of our most vulnerable Americans put food on the table. The SNAP program is a federal program, though it's administered by the states, and it's designed to respond when during economic downturns. So as we hit the recession, millions more Americans found themselves falling into poverty. A lot of times that was kind of a temporary situation, and SNAP was there to meet the challenge. And in particular, SNAP is a lifeline for millions of working families, but they're working low-wage, minimum-wage jobs, and they can't necessarily make enough to make ends meet. But it's also critically important for children, people with disabilities, the elderly, et cetera. So why I wanted to kind of talk through that is so folks had a basic understanding about the program and the critical role it plays. And even though the economy is recovering, still almost one out of five American children is living in poverty, and that's less than about $24,000 for a family of four. And overall, about one out of seven Americans is living in poverty. So SNAP is a particular, really important lifeline for those populations in particular. So Congress goes through an annual process, and they're kind of finishing it up now of creating a budget blueprint. It's, and so the House and Senate each put forward budget proposals, and now they're trying to negotiate to reach a final budget deal that sets the parameters for some of the more detailed legislation they'll take up later on this year. But in particular, you know, I think this year we could really see big threats to SNAP, the SNAP program. The House of Representatives put forward $125 billion worth of cuts to SNAP over the next decade in their budget blueprint. The Senate budget, it was pretty dramatic. And with that, if that was just, if you reach those savings just by kicking people off the program, it would mean 11 to 12 million Americans would lose access to SNAP, not because they're not at risk for hunger, but just because of kind of budget numbers somebody in Washington, D.C. put in a piece of legislation. The Senate also put forward a budget blueprint. Theirs was not as detailed, so it might, you know, if the Senate version was enacted, it might have also included similar levels of cuts to SNAP, but it just wasn't as specific as the House. But the the other thing that was really critical is that the House has put forward, the House in their version of a budget kind of put these cuts to SNAP on a fast track using a process called budget reconciliation. The Senate did not do so. So procedurally, the version that was passed in the House of Representatives is the version that's more, it's much more of a serious practical threat to the SNAP program if that was to become law. So they're trying to negotiate, and rumors are, the media coverage says that they've basically reached a deal, but it's being held up, at least temporarily, by one of the senators, Senator Corker from me. But the press accounts and our conversations with people in Washington indicate that the Congress is not going to put cuts to SNAP on a fast track for now. And one of the reasons why that happens is because of the big outcry from folks across the country that, you know, expressing outrage that Congress yet again was putting forward cuts to SNAP, the food stamp program, even though we know in our communities across the country that millions of families are struggling. So just this year already, we results volunteers alone have generated 76 pieces of media, and 62 of them specifically focused on, you know, these are mostly letters to the editor, but also editorials and opinion pieces, including one today in a South Carolina paper. And these are pieces that specifically say, hey, Congress, we're paying attention. We don't want to see the food stamp program. We don't want to see SNAP cut yet again. And though that kind of media coverage has made a big impact on the discussions in Washington, D.C. So if anyone is listening by any chance who has helped highlight this to members of your own community or in the media, thank you so much, and big kudos specifically to Mary, who helped worked with a longtime ally of hers who's now in a paper in Ohio to make sure that the Toledo Blade in Ohio was one of the pieces, one of the media outlets that was highlighting this. So,
And that would be Jeff Garrett, the editorial writer, and he's written many pieces on helping the poor and what we can do. And so we really say bravo to him. He's been doing that for things we've asked him to for quite a long time. So thank you.
Yeah, and so I guess in the short term, it's some good news. It's the good news is that I think that SNAP is off the chopping block for now. But I think that we will see SNAP, the food stamp program, under threat again later on this year. I think we'll see Congress and the president negotiate some kind of budget deal later on this year to finalize some spending bills. And I think there's going to be renewed calls to slash the SNAP program at that time. So we need to kind of keep up the pressure. And as Ken mentioned, there are tools on our website to help folks do that. So if you go to results.org, there's a link in the top right to a blog post that helps you write a letter to the editor or tell Congress how you feel about proposed cuts to SNAP. And then I urge folks who are interested to learn more about results by joining one of our upcoming introductory calls. So that's a great way to hear about results and hear about the you know, the way volunteers across the country are making an impact on the policy debate. So we run those calls. They're usually about 30 to 40 minutes twice a month. So it's a great way to learn more. And you can see the details and sign up at results.org.
And if anyone has any questions about anything, they can email me, which I already gave as malbertson05@aol.com. And Meredith, how about you if they have any domestic questions?
Yeah, they can email me at my last name. It's Dodson, D-O-D-S-O-N, at results.org.
Okay. I know that, you know, we talked a lot about that yesterday at our congressional meeting. We'd love to have people, you know, in Michigan, around here, helping us go to those meetings and talk to members of Congress. But anywhere else you are in the country, you know, there's groups, or you can be on your own and do things on the computer. Anyway, what do you call that, Meredith, if they're alone?
Oh, yeah. So we, in addition to plugging into one of our chapters, as I mentioned, we have 35 chapters that focus on U.S. poverty issues and another 70 that focus on international poverty issues. We also have a system of free agents, so that's a way that folks can engage when there's not a local results group. And again, if you get in touch with us, we can plug you in to those efforts.
Well, and I think, you know, a lot of times some of the arguments, or not arguments, but questions that people have about SNAP, you know, just aren't true. I know that it's one of the most effective programs, with a 1% fraud rate and a 96% accuracy rate. At least was on our information for yesterday. And people like vets, even vets that are in they're working right now. Their vets are in the service right now, and their families still need to use SNAP. But I think probably Detroit, in our area, there's probably 1 in 3 children that don't know if they're going to be able to eat today or not. You know, Mom, am I going to be able to eat today or not today? You know, how would you like to have to say that to your child? So, you know, Results is a wonderful organization. It's so joyful. Giving is so joyful, giving your time. And you can make such a difference. And some of the people in Congress have even said to us, you know, you elect us, and then you don't tell us what you want to do. Well, maybe not every single one wants us to tell them, but most of them want us to tell them what to do. You know, we're their boss. We elect them. We cannot vote for them, and they can be voted out of their office. So we are their boss. We are a constituent. Make sure you tell them that when you call them, and make sure you tell them that you want an answer to what the congressperson thinks about this if you're calling. And they will call you back, or they will send you a letter on something that you've done. So use that, and use your vote, and always vote. And what else, Meredith, do you want to end with?
Yeah, and just there are also other really important decisions Congress will be making relating to U.S. poverty issues. In particular, for those who understand, you know, tax policy can have a huge impact on poverty in the United States.
Oh, yeah.
And the Earned Income Tax Credit, which is a tax credit that helps kind of supports working families to make ends meet, lifts more American children above the poverty line than any other program except for Social Security. And I will say that SNAP is the next one after the EITC. And so the Earned Income Tax Credit and also the Child Tax Credit work together to boost incomes for millions of American families, and it's important that we protect and strengthen them. And unfortunately, in these same budget proposals that we saw out of the House and Senate, they allow some really critical provisions for low-income working families with the EITC, you know, that are claiming the EITC and the Child Tax Credit to expire.
Mm-hmm.
And if that happens, we'll see an estimated 16 million Americans fall into poverty or deeper into poverty. So, again, you can check out results.org for more details and actions that you can take. And that's just another example of a really key issue that that we need folks, you know, people raising their voices like you, Mary, across the country to make a big difference.
Well, thanks for all your help, Meredith. You're always a really big help to us. And thank you for coming on today. And everybody, please go to results.org and see what's there, and check out our successes page and see what we've been able to do in the last 35 years. 35th anniversary international conference in D.C. this summer, so check us out. And thanks again, Meredith. And also, everyone, please go to the donation website for Pushpa Bassnet in Nepal, waitingformamu.com. And there are links there to the film that you can show to others to show what Pushpa's been doing and let you know what she needs right now after this devastating earthquake. So thanks to everyone for tuning in. Thanks, Meredith. Take care.
All right. Take care, everyone.
Okay. Bye-bye. Have a good day, everyone.